You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you today's broadcast of the Way of Truth.
God be granted all the praise and glory, for he gave his son on Calvary to die. The son gave his life on old Golgotha. Now who is on the Lord's side tonight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Yes, upon the cross there hang our blessed Savior, and the clouds came o'er the sun and hid the sky. But the price for our salvation there he purchased. If unto the words of God you'll draw nigh. Now who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the Now who is on the Lord's side among you? Tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight?
The Christian life is a warfare. We are told that we should war a good warfare, and we should fight the good fight of faith. There is an enemy in the world who is determined to further the forces and the works of evil, and those who are on the Lord's side must fight against that, not only to keep their own soul clear before God, but to endeavor to influence others to come over on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of presenting this broadcast today to this precious people. We're thankful for each one who is in our congregation, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will use us, use our broadcast, to make it a blessing to souls. We also pray that you'll minister to them in their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual or otherwise, for we know that you are a loving God, and you're no respecter of persons, and you care for all. So we ask you to bless them, bless this broadcast, in Jesus' name, amen.
Satisfied, the only thing that's lasting.
Our thoughts for today's broadcast, The Worth of Christian Character. And our thoughts will be based on a number of scriptures found in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. But first of all, let me stress the sacredness of human life. Life is a gift from Almighty God. The world in which we are living today, with suicide bombers in different countries blowing up men, women, and children, and of course blowing themselves up, wars in various parts of the world, it seems that there are many in the world today who have little or no concern or conception of the value of the life and how it is indeed a sacred thing, because again, it is a gift from God. Then to think about the dignity of Christian character in the face of all this evil and ungodliness that's in the world. Character is a distinctive trait or quality, one's pattern of behavior or personality, moral strength and fortitude. And the word dignity is worthiness, nobility, high repute, honor, calm, self-possession, and self-respect. The Apostle Paul was a man of high character after he received Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Before that, he was so dyed in the wool in his religion that he was determined to destroy the disciples of Christ. He was so free and convinced that he was in the right, that he was willing and ready to destroy other people's lives. He was there whenever they stoned Stephen, watching their clothes, and he was doubtless in favor of their doing so. But after he became a disciple of Christ on the road to Damascus, he was indeed a changed man. And he was a man of character. I like to preach about the Apostle Paul. Of course, we have a number of New Testament books from the writings of the Apostle Paul or his dictations. And he was an outstanding follower of Christ, even more so than when he was fighting Christ. So I want to base my thoughts today primarily on the thoughts or in the life of this man. And in the 27th or the 17th verse of the 20th chapter of Acts, we read, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, Paul was on his way up to Jerusalem, and Miletus was the seaport nearest to Ephesus. And he sent ahead and had the elders from the congregation of the Church of God there in Ephesus to come to Miletus to meet him. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Paul is reminding them of the kind of a life that he had lived before them, and how that he had been faithful and true to them in bearing to them the message of truth. And he also was troubled and concerned for his own people who were fighting him and were opposing him. And they were doing all they could to hinder him, but Paul still loved his people, and he said he was willing to even give his very life for them if that would do any good to save them. So Paul was reminding the elders of Ephesus of what kind of person he was, how he had lived among them, and what all he had done to be faithful and true and loyal to them. Then we read in verses 20 and 21, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." He had not withheld any of the truth of the gospel, even though it did not go with a lot of people. It did not find their approval. In fact, they opposed him bitterly. And at various times they would do evil against him. But even so, Paul was the man of character that he was determined not only to live the life himself, but to preach the gospel, stand for the truth, and help others to know the truth. And he goes on testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Usually on Paul's missionary journeys, if there was a synagogue in the given city that he was in, he would go there first to offer his own people the opportunity to learn and to know about Jesus Christ. But again, so many times they rejected his message, and he had to turn to the Gentiles, who in many instances were much more willing to listen to what Paul had to say and even to obey what he said to say than what his own people were. And he also preached the gospel and witnessed to the people in every city where he went, save that, and he knew that there was opposition facing him. And he said in verse 23, "Say that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." And Paul enumerates in other scriptures how he suffered: shipwreck, stone, left for dead, imprisoned, in peril of false brethren and all. He enumerated a number of things that had happened unto him. But the Apostle Paul was determined to be a true disciple of Christ and true to the people. And he said, "None of these things move me." So we read on here in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." What a man and what a character he had. Although mistreated, as I've just referred, yet he was true to them. He was true to everyone that he had the opportunity of bearing the witness to. And not only that, but we see where he refers to the tears that he shed. Therefore, watch and pray and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a burden this man had for the souls of men. How highly he regarded human life. And not only human life, but the eternity-bound soul. You talk about Christian character. This is a man that had Christian character. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Let me stop there for a moment and make a comment. That's verse 33 of Acts 20. You know, a lot of preachers today couldn't say what the Apostle Paul said. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or of apparel. He worked with his own hands at times. He was a tent maker. And he worked with his own hands at times to support himself, and not only to support himself, but to support those that were laboring with him. He did not fleece the people, and he did not live a very highly flying life, as it were. No, Paul did without. He went with hunger, and at times he didn't have sufficient clothes. But he went on just the same. None of these things move me. I am determined to be true to the souls of men. I am determined to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died upon the cross for me. So Paul was faithful to the people that he ministered to. And he said, I go to Jerusalem. Bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. In other words, Christ means more to me than my very life means to me, so that I might finish my course with joy of the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then in verses 26 and 27, we read, Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Remember back in the Old Testament how God told them to seek out men and place them upon the walls to be watchmen for them. And he said to the watchmen, If you see the sword coming upon the land, and blow the trumpet, and the people are carried away in their sins, their blood will be upon their own head. But he said, If you as a watchman do not blow the trumpet when you see the sword coming, then they will be carried away in their sins anyway, but I will require their blood at your hands. And so Paul says here that he is free from the blood of all men. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He proclaimed the gospel, whether the people liked it or not, whether they accepted it or not. He was determined to declare the gospel, and he was not going to have their blood on his hands. Now we read on here in this chapter, where Paul said, Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that he had spoken, saying that they would not see his face any more. Now Paul's letter to the congregation there at Ephesus Paul, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1 and 1. And we see Paul here giving them, recommending them the gospel of Christ, reminding them of how he had been true to them. Yes, and beloved, Paul is an example for all of us in many respects. Of course, Jesus Christ is the most and blessed example we can have. But I like to think of the Apostle Paul. As I said, I like to speak of him because he was such an outstanding character. And he was a true Christian. And he had Christian character. And he was an example. And I would say that all Christians are faithful. If you're really a Christian, you can be depended upon. You can be trusted. And you will be faithful to the souls of those that you come in contact with. A Christian is one who is living the Christ-like life, endeavoring to show forth the kind of character that Jesus showed, the kind of character that the Apostle Paul showed. And so, living the Christian life, we are to be an example of what Christ believed, what he taught, and what he stood for. And so, Christians are to be Christ-like. You remember reading in the Bible how the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Do you know why they were called Christians? It was not because of respect. It was no effort on their part to honor them. They were making fun of them, ridiculing them, mocking them. And the reason that they called them Christians was to make fun of them. But as far as I'm concerned, they were paying them a very high compliment. To be called a Christian in reality and in fact is a compliment indeed. And Jesus told each one of us that we should let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world, and without the light of the world, you only have darkness. But he also told the disciples shortly before he returned to the Father that they were to be the light of the world. Let your light shine. And of course, the only light that we have and the only light that we can let shine is Jesus Christ living in us, manifesting himself through us, and people seeing us. And what a compliment it is when a person says, that's a Christian. I remember when I was in service for a short period of time, I had a buddy. I met him on the trip to the camp there in Alabama, and we became friends, and somebody stole his pocketbook one night, and he turned in that information to the authorities, and they began to question him in regard to his friends and so forth. And he told them that I was one of his friends, but he said, you don't need to talk to him. I know he didn't take it. And I consider that quite a compliment. And that's the way all of us as Christians should be. We should be dependable. We should be trustworthy. And people should know, not because of a badge we wear or a cross we have in our coat lapel or some T-shirt with some message on it. People should know that we are a Christian by the life that we live. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts with our precious congregation today. And we do trust that the Holy Spirit has made them a blessing to each and to every one. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know, and we would like to hear from you. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That postal address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And there is a place on our email, sir, that you can send us a message by email if you desire. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. As we have said before, you can go to our webpage and there read our monthly Way of Truth magazine if you like. And you can also download previous broadcasts of the Way of Truth if you desire. If you missed some or if you'd like to hear one over again, you may go to our webpage and download, for we have a number of broadcasts there in our archives. And again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. I would also like to invite you to be with us in our services, for they are broadcast live over the internet. And our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday night at 7. And these services are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, we thank you for being a part of our broadcast congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we will be bringing you another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, this is Alvin A. Craig bidding God's blessings on you.